Hello, this is Kendra Brodine, founder and CEO of Women Lawyers Online, and today I am so pleased to bring you a conversation with Yolanda Cash Jackson. Yolanda is an experienced government law attorney who has established a strong reputation in the community for her leadership and commitment to civic, charitable, and professional organizations. She concentrates her practice in the area of governmental relations and has developed a proficiency in state government funding and appropriations. Yolanda has excellent working relationships with several of the state's leading elected officials and policymakers. In 2010, Yolanda was elected to Becker and Polyakoff's Management Committee. Yolanda was selected in 2009 to serve on the University of Florida Alumni Outreach Committee. She is also an active member of the Orange Bowl Committee, the Carrie Meek Foundation, the Greater Miami Chapter of the Lynx Incorporated, and the Greater Miami Chamber of Commerce, serving as the chair of the State Advocacy Committee. Yolanda is a member of the United States Senate Military Affairs Committee, where she served on the Service Academy Nominating Board to screen and recommend applicants to West Point Annapolis, the United States Marine Academy, and the United States Air Force Academy. Yolanda is also very involved in local politics, having managed the successful state Senate campaign for Senator Kendrick Meek. Yolanda served as general counsel to the NAACP Miami-Dade branch, where she was also a member of the executive committee. She was chosen to participate in Leadership Florida, which is a highly selective statewide leadership training program, as a member of the Class 19, which was 2000-2001. Yolanda was profiled in an article in the Miami Herald very recently on May 12th of 2010. Yolanda was the keynote speaker at the 2010 Women's History Month celebration, Rosa Parks Day. In addition, Yolanda was guest speaker and also served as moderator for the legislative debate panel at the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce monthly legislative meeting. She also had the opportunity to speak at Barry University in the Department of Communications and at the Delta Sigma Theta sorority event honoring high school students regarding education and achievement. During the 2010 legislative session, Yolanda met with students from Broward County who were visiting and touring the state capitol. Yolanda has been honored by numerous community and business organizations. In 2009, she received the Broward Black Elected Officials Community Service Award, as well as being honored and receiving the ICABA Recognition Honoree Award. She was recognized as one of the 100 most accomplished blacks in law in South Florida and was the only attorney selected to write the foreword for the publication and speak at the VIP event. She was honored by Florida Memorial University as Community Leader of the Year for her many contributions to the university and the community. She was also twice honored by her peers as one of the Florida Legal Elite, featured in Florida Trend magazine. She was honored as Distinguished African American Woman with Vision, Dare, and Care by, you'll have to help me with this pronunciation, Yolanda, Le Bon Ami.
Very good.
Thank you. My high school French coming up. Le Bon Ami Club. She's also been recognized as a woman to watch by the Sun Post magazine. Yolanda is a recipient of the In of Company of Women 2007 Award presented by Miami-Dade County Commission on the Status of Women, and she was recognized for her participation in the Florida Bar Young Lawyers Division of the Governor's Government Affairs Symposium in 2007. So with all of that wonderful bio experience and life lessons to bring to the call, I am so glad you are here, Yolanda. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for inviting me.
You are very welcome. Well, Yolanda, I would love to just jump right in to the questions that we're going to talk about as a basis for our conversation today. And I'd invite you to look back on your past, on your personal and professional history in your work and life. And I was just wondering if you would say that you feel as if you've always been good at balancing what you've got going on in your life and in your work or your education, or if there more feels like a pivotal point or a critical time in your life where something changed and you decided to do things differently.
Well, I think that there were a couple of pivotal points that led to me deciding to do lobbying, one, getting involved in political activities, and my friends deciding that they wanted to be in elected office. And then there were some personal tragedies, loss of a husband and father very close together in time, that kind of gave a new perspective on things. And then I think the other pivotal point is age.
No.
I got older. and decided that there were some things that I wanted to do, and it was worth taking a risk and changing my law practice.
And sometimes I'm sure as we get older and we realize that we're not getting any younger and we get one chance to have the practice that we truly desire, we have to take those risks. Was that your experience? Did it feel like a risk or a leap, or was it just the next natural step?
No, I think it was a risk. I think one of the challenges in talking about balancing work and life and trying to decide what you'd like to do is deciding how much of a risk taker you are. How much are you willing to make some personal sacrifices to do the thing that you think you might love? Identifying what that is a challenge, and then implementing it is some is timing, some is luck, and a lot of prayer.
That's right. And just that trust, stepping out and putting one foot in front of the other.
That is correct.
That's correct.
I think at least for me personally, it was opportunity of meeting desire. There was a lawyer at my former firm who told me about the government practice at Becker Polyakov and suggested that I really didn't like litigating, but I really liked people and liked politics, and suggested that I talk to the law firm about being included in their very small then government practice. And I did, because sometimes people can see things in you that you can't see in yourself. And I did, and it worked out lovely.
I think it's so true that sometimes other people see us in a way that's so different than the way we see ourselves, and that it serves us sometimes just to be open to that feedback about what they see in us or what potential or possibilities they see for us, rather than being stuck just in the ways we think about ourselves living in our own skin.
All the boxes that society puts us in, for example, as a litigator, a commercial litigator, you're often put in a box that you have to have a Fortune 500 client, you have to build a certain number of hours, you have to work a certain number of days, you have to dress a certain way based on what's the norm, and the norm may not be you. And I always say to people, I spent the first 10 years of my practice trying to be a white male litigator, and that just wasn't it. No matter what I did, I just wasn't going to be that. Being able to be comfortable in your own skin and being able to be in touch enough with your abilities to make some decisions that may be fruitful in the end is something that I think women in general need to take a look at. We are not going to be male lawyers.
No
matter what.
And maybe that's a very good thing.
Yeah. So within the confines of all the things that we have to do in our personal life with children, with multitasking, with being good daughters and good aunts, all of that goes into, I think, what we end up doing in the practice of law.
It's so true that we bring all of those facets of ourselves to our practice, and what we learn in those other facets we can bring to our practice to improve it and to deepen it.
Right, and to change it. I think women being in the practice of law have worked to change the practice. I know even within our own firm, fellas don't cuss as much. At management meetings, they've learned how to speak one at a time.
Right. It's true. There are those lessons, I think. As moms, sometimes I find myself being a little bit too motherly in situations, but sometimes it serves the situation sometimes when you pull out that mom voice and say, all right,
that,
now, boys.
That's correct. That is true.
Sometimes, and you know what? Some people respond, I think, sometimes and allowing ourselves the freedom to say those things that sometimes really need to be said, and in other cases where we might have stifled ourselves or shut ourselves down. But bringing that person, that persona to the table, sometimes does improve things in unexpected ways.
That is, I agree with you.
Yolanda, I'm wondering then, with that and segueing into the next question and in the next part of our conversation, is there a challenge or a struggle that you have faced that seems to be a bit more overarching than the others? I'm wondering what your biggest challenge or struggle along the way has been as you've tried to create the balance in your life, or at least some alignment between who you are professionally and who you are personally. What would you say has been your biggest struggle?
Well, just the idea of trying to balance and trying to remember that you have to balance. Sometimes I do a good job at it, and sometimes I don't. I try to provide opportunities for me to have fun. I try to make sure I still laugh. I try to keep in touch with people who help to keep me grounded. And doing that helps to keep me balanced. Sometimes I work too much. I think I've gone through a period of time that I did put work very much in front of everything else. But I think you have to do that. At some point, you have to throw 110% into what you want to accomplish. You're just not going to get it doing 50%, and that can be personally or professionally. And trying to know within yourself when you need to back off and take a break or take a mental health day, go get a pedicure, go to the mall, whatever your stress relief is, I think you have to do it.
There's the idea of stressing and resting, where we have peaks of stress, be it physical, where you have a recovery period after, or stress, emotional or psychological, in terms of doing your work, but then following it very conscientiously, sometimes forcing ourselves to follow it with a period of rest and recovery, and like you said, a day off or a day away or some self-care, whatever it is, but following those peaks of stress with a bit of a valley, a place of rest, following those periods of stress.
I find the most solace for me comes when I am around or in situations where there is no pretense. The political arena and doing lobbying, everybody's always on the stage making sure they say the right thing in the right way to the right people. And so it really helps to balance by sometimes being around people that have no clue as to what you do.
Yep. You don't have to talk shop all the time or feel like you're still having
fun. That's a big challenge. Because we have a tendency to think, as those folks in Tallahassee, lobbyists and elected officials, that everybody is, their world is revolving the same that ours is, and it's revolving about us. Most citizens, Joe Q. Citizen, or the citizen I call Ms. Johnson, Ms. Johnson has no clue as to what the heck you're talking about when you're talking Tallahassee speak. She just has no clue. She's more concerned about, you know, trying to keep her lights on, trying to put food on the table. I remember something that my father shared with me about quality of life type issues. And he said, look, everybody wants to, their main thing is that they want to provide food on the table for their family. Some families eat steak. Some families eat, you know, something else, beans.
Yep.
But the bottom line is that no matter through walks of life, that's the basic premise that we all are faced with.
That's so true. It's so true. And just those basic human needs that we have, both physically and also as providers for our family, or as in the relationships that we have, there are superseding needs and desires that we have that connect us as human beings, that we do share these common drives. They may look a little bit different in how they are ultimately satisfied, but we do share many of the same desires.
That's true. And that's the way, in my opinion, that you balance, by acknowledging that everybody's not the same as you. Everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their weaknesses. You're not perfect. They're not perfect. You do have to play some. You have to laugh. You have to. Otherwise, it just becomes too intense.
Right.
And I think that you can't be a total successful person that way.
That's true. Sometimes it feels as if you're either, I say you're going to either laugh or you're going to cry, and I guess I just will laugh. I choose to laugh in this moment.
Yeah, right. But sometimes you need to cry, too.
You do. I'm a crier, too. So sometimes you can do both. It's rather impressive. But no, it's so true that we're human. I think it's important to just remember for ourselves that we're human. And as you said, we make mistakes. We're not perfect, much as we would like to be sometimes, and to be gentle with ourselves and to be gentle with other people, remembering that they're human, too, and that they have their faults, and they're just doing the best they can as well. And like you said, if we can remember that, we can just get along with ourselves and with others a lot better. Yolanda, what would you say then, on the flip side of that challenge, has been your biggest lesson? And maybe it's unrelated to what you identified as your challenge, or maybe it is, but if you had to name one lesson that you've learned that has really guided you maybe more philosophically in terms of creating alignment between what you do personally and what you do professionally, creating that work-life balance, what would you say that lesson would be?
I'm going to go back to something else I learned growing up, and was said to me, it must have been every time that I left the house, and that was, remember who you represent and use good judgment. And that's been a lesson that has taken me through so many things. And I didn't realize right away how profound that was. First of all, remember who you represent. And I think as women, and we have a tendency to be the first of everything. We are the first, I was the first black female ever to work at the law firm that I started, that I went to right out of law school. They had never had a black woman before. I was the first African-American partner here at the firm. First African-American on the management committee. There are tons and tons and tons and tons of firsts. But I think that if you remember who you represent and those people who came before you to allow you to be in that station of life, I think that's valuable. It keeps you grounded, and makes you realize that it's not important that you are the first. It's important that there are, you know, the fifth one, the tenth one, the 22nd one. My journey here, for example, at the law firm, and I've had this discussion with some of my partners, my journey here at the law firm is not important that I was the first African-American. If we don't have a black lawyer or a woman lawyer that comes through this door and is a member of the management committee, then I have failed.
Mm-hmm.
And so remembering who you represent and the sacrifices that were made before you to get where you are, and to make sure that there's somebody to carry on the legacy in the right way, is probably one of the biggest lessons that I learned. And then the second part of using good judgment, life is full of choices. People can offer you a lot of money, a lot of prestige. There are going to be times when, I think professionally, as women, dealing socially in social situations where we have to go to dinner with men, And we have to choose how we're going to act professionally, what we're going to wear, how we're going to carry ourselves. one of the things that talking about using good judgment, I always said with politics, you know, so many people get indicted, it's always a problem. But if I said, if anybody ever said anything that I stole anything or that I lied about anything, the biggest testament would be that somebody would stand up and said, oh, no, that's not possible, that's not true, that's not who she is. So using good judgment so that you can develop that kind of reputation along with remembering who you represent, I think it's the biggest life lesson that anyone can learn. It's certainly something that I've learned.
Ah, it's so deep what you share there in terms of the advice that you received. And I think sometimes that wisdom that we grow up with that is maybe passed down through our families or passed down to us, that kind of wisdom behooves us in so many ways, and it means so many different things. You were told that running out the door when you were 8 years old, running over to a friend's house, and now as a grown woman and as an attorney, it's that same advice that guides you every day. And it's so powerful to remember who you represent, like you said, who came before you and who comes after you in your behavior, and using that and coming from that to use that judgment and to make those strong, good choices that are a part of who you are and represent who you are. Like you said, our reputation is so important. And when others know us to be women of character and women of good choices, so that as you use it as an example, they wouldn't believe a word of a situation that involved a lack of integrity or a lack of some character, because it's so out of the ordinary for us. But if we can consistently make choices that reinforce that, it's a really powerful way to move through our day and to move through our careers.
Absolutely.
But thank you for sharing that. Again, those words, that it just is almost, you feel elders sort of gathered around when you hear words of just deep wisdom like that sounds so simple but have such a powerful effect. And again, I just almost, you can just feel those grandparents saying, you know, this is how to live, and I don't care what you're doing, if you're an attorney, if you're a corn picker, if you work at a gas station, if you're president of the United States, these are words that everyone can use, and everyone can use to better themselves and their situation. So I appreciate you sharing them. Yolanda, what would you say then, sort of having talked about the bigger umbrella lesson that you shared, are there tips or tools or strategies, maybe more practical ways that you have found that have worked for you, just different ways of doing things or thinking about things that women who are listening or reading these words might be able to implement in their lives or their law practices to help create more balance or more ease or more grace in what they're doing?
Well, I think probably the first strategy would be to only do what you want to do, only do what you like doing. And if you enjoy doing your work and your practice and things that you have a passion for, then you will be successful. I think that a lot of times, getting back to one of my early points, is that we try to mold ourselves into what we read in some book, or, you know, or there are numerous things out there, the paid TV infomercials on how you are successful. And I think that's necessary. You need motivation, and they provide motivation. But I think the top strategy for developing a good, solid legal practice is for women is to be true to yourself and decide to do something that you love. For example, if you are an animal lover and that you have a passion for animal rights and what have you, then you could, part of your practice could be that you become an expert on animal rights. And that's something that you don't have a problem getting up in the morning to go to the office to work on. You don't have a problem spending a little personal time that you would be doing something else, developing that. But because it's your passion, it'll help to drive you to success. It may be bankruptcy. It may be, you know, maybe commercial litigation is your passion. Maybe you like being an advocate. I always like being an advocate. I always like being in charge of, I guess you could say, control of situations and bringing to people a sense of empowerment. I always like doing that, helping to solve problems and telling people how they could fight through their problem. Sometimes I'm on the white hat side and sometimes I'm on the black hat side. But I think doing what you love and having a passion for what you're doing is good. And I think as you get older, you decide that you just aren't going to do what you don't like doing. And that's why you see a lot of people leave the practice and go and do, you know, open restaurants and everything else. They just get to a point where, you know what, I'm only going to do what I really enjoy doing. Sometimes it takes 2 years to get there.
I think so. As you said right at the outset, sometimes it's hard to find who you are and to find that passion, and that in and of itself takes years of, and maybe you're not even aware that you're seeking it for the beginning of your career, and then you start to seek it, you start to feel some discontent and figure out that you need to make a shift. And as you said earlier, sometimes it takes someone else saying, you know, have you ever thought about doing this or that? But being open to those changes and maybe being open to the risks associated to really step in to whatever that work is, whatever that passion is, so that you're loving what you're doing each day.
Well, and not only that, you know, the reality is that women lawyers, we haven't had a long history to follow. Sometimes we're not going to have a woman mentor. Your mentor, for example, for me, my mentors within the law firm, and you must have them, my mentors within the law firm were all male, Jewish males. Nothing like, you
wow.
know, backgrounds
yeah.
that I had come up with. I was my law partner in Tallahassee, grew up in Hollywood, very much, very, very committed to his religion, which was directly opposite mine. But you know what? I came here eating matzo ball soup, and he learned how to eat collard greens. I mean, it's you
That's
help
great.
To mold your surroundings by just being comfortable with who you are and having a passion for what you do. He helped to provide me the tools necessary to implement or make best use of my passion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to give the impression that you just go out there and do anything that you want to do. I mean, you're going to have to work at it. You're going to have to become a student of that game, whatever that game is, in order to be successful.
It's
and you
so
have
true.
To have a plan.
Mm-hmm. That's right. No, and I completely agree, and I didn't feel like you were giving that impression at all. And if I added to that impression, I hope I didn't, because it does take the courage to decide what that is, whatever that passion is. And then, like you said, it doesn't come overnight. It's not as if you leave your law practice and hang out your restaurant shingle and boom, you know, everything's great. It takes a lot of work to make that shift. But if you can handle the risk and handle and be courageous and make yourself, and like you said, make yourself a student, humble yourself and make yourself a student of what you need to learn so that you can make a go of it when you finally get through that growing stage and that maybe frustrations and anxiety of becoming that next iteration of yourself and can fully work in your passion, then it pays off. But there is some growing pangs in between.
Well, and you break a new ground, and the world doesn't owe you anything.
I mean,
we went through a period of some preferences because there were no women, but there are more women now. We've kind of gotten past that. The world doesn't owe you anything. I believe you get out of opportunities what you put into them. You work hard, you play hard. That I think that's the way that you are successful.
That's so true. The idea that you get out what you put in and you just go full steam ahead, whether you're playing and enjoying life and reaping the rewards or you're nose to the grindstone and doing the work, that put in 110% either way.
Right.
Excellent. Well, Yolanda, I'm mindful of the time, and I'm so deeply appreciative of the time you've given and the words of wisdom, deep wisdom that you've shared. I'm wondering, before we start wrapping up, is there anything else you'd like to share or like to pass along to folks who are listening or reading these words?
I hope that there's been something said that will be beneficial to someone listening. That's the whole point.
Exactly. I think when we can, as you mentioned about finding mentors, and ideally maybe there's someone in your firm or that you can look to in the legal community, but if not, find other places, and that's what I hope Women Lawyers Online will be for women, to bring women like you who do have a depth of experience and wisdom to share to other women who are looking for that information or looking for solutions or some tips or advice or anything. So sometimes it's virtual mentorship. If we can't find it in a real physical person, there's books, there's online resources, there's places like Women Lawyers Online to go and to find the information if you just seek it out. But finding those role models, and I just want to be grateful to you and express my gratitude to you for being a role model and being a mentor to other women by sharing yourself in this way.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome. Yolanda, if someone wanted to connect with you or learn more about your work or your law firm, could you share an email address or a website or whatever you'd like to share about your work and how to connect with you in the future?
Well, I must make that. Thank you for allowing me to make this shameless plug.
That's what it's here for.
You can visit our website at www.becker-polyakoff.com. My email address is yjackson@becker-polyakoff.com. You'll be able to learn more about what we do in Tallahassee as we advocate on behalf of schools, children, healthcare workers, telecom services, municipalities. And if you want to get some idea of what's going on in Tallahassee, thank goodness we're finished with the legislative session, but we'll be spending a lot of time in Florida trying to get a whole new cabinet elected. One of the things about my job is that it is year-round, and I invite you to join us in the journey. And we have a blog. I am on Facebook. The law firm is on Facebook. That's probably the best way if you want to do some chatting about what other women lawyers are doing. I invite you to go visit us on Facebook.
Great. Thank you. That's it's such a fun way to connect in terms of social media. It makes it so easy to interact without, you know, emails and phone calls, and to share wisdom with a group rather than just person to person, because so many times we have similar questions or similar feedback, so we can share it in a group sort of setting. Well, thank you again, Yolanda. I just want to express my gratitude to you and thank you for your time and the wisdom you've shared. So thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Oh, you are welcome, and thank you.
You're welcome as well. Well, with that, we will close this conversation with Yolanda. And again, I thank her and I thank you for being here. However you've been here, be it listening in an audio format or reading these words, however this information has reached you, I hope that it's meaningful. I hope it's a blessing to you in your life and in your law practice, that you find something you can implement, be it right away or sometime in the future, that makes a big difference to you in creating the life and the law practice that you love. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodeen of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thanks again for being here today. Bye-bye.